السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك على كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله بفضل كرم إحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in the Mubarak month of Dhul Qa'dah. So Dhul Qa'dah is one of the sacred months, and we know that now we are fast approaching Hajj. So there are many, many lessons in this great ibadat of Hajj. But two lessons we want to touch on today. One is that if we have to look at prior to Islam, the Arabs who were living there in Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, they used to kill over trivial things. One small fight, one small something, they're killing. Women, they say, no, these people here, they're not deserving of anything because they can't fight, they can't ride a horse, they can't defend the family, so they are not deserving of anything. They are liability. They were treated that way. And it was the survival of the fittest. Rule of the jungle. Survival of the fittest. Even prior to Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam got involved in a pact where some responsible people of the community got together and they said, no man, somebody needs to stand up for the weak. Somebody needs to stand up for the orphans. Somebody needs to stand up for the widows. Because everybody is just take advantage. It was all about me, myself and I. What I want, I'm strong, I got power, I must get it. And that system, that way of thinking, is exactly the capitalist system that we see in the world today. The way of the kuffar, they'll call it democracy, they'll call it whatever different words they want to give. But it's exactly the same thing you see happening in the dunya, that the stronger country will just take advantage over a weaker country. All the minerals, all the resources of that weaker country, somehow these people will just take hold of it. So that's survival of the fittest. That the stronger get stronger, the weaker are just oppressed and trampled upon. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with such a system, such a beautiful deen, that made everybody think, not about themselves, but of everybody else. That everybody else comes first, I come last. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum such a training, that the time came when they went hungry for somebody else to be full. They didn't have sufficient clothing, but somebody else must be clothed. They are on the brink of death, but they're worried about somebody else's life, somebody else's need. They came last. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. Everybody else is first. Everybody else's need is before mine. And the supreme thing is the deen of Allah. That takes precedence over everything else. to such an extent, that Abu Quhafa, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was not a Muslim as yet. Later on he accepted Islam. At that time, he was not a Muslim. And one day, he insulted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the presence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and all. Now his father and son, the father is a non-Muslim and he is saying something in insult of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and all, his iman came to the front. His love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the front. He gave Abu Quhafa one shot. And then, when the incident was relayed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Bakr, now, Abu Bakr, no, take it easy, it's your father. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a sword was nearby, I would have beheaded you. That iman came first. Allah Ta'ala came first. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came first. They were last. They were the greatest humanitarians, the most respectful of people, worried about everybody's need. Imagine Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu walking in the streets of Madinah Munawwarah late at night. See, anybody needs something. Anybody got any problem? That's how he found that lady, that family is in the outskirts of Madinah Munawwarah. He sees something happening there, he goes there. What's the matter? He said, no. Family is about to give birth. The wife is about to give birth. Comes back to the town. Gets his wife up. Come. You want to earn sawab? Come with me. Goes there. His wife, the wife of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, goes to assist that lady. Umar now is outside. He is making a fire to make some food that this family can eat. So they own needs, their own sometimes basic necessary needs, that too they put it one side. That the Ummah came first. Everybody else came first. Imagine that family. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who will host this family? One sahabi, he said, no, he took the takaza. He goes home, the wife says, there's only enough food here what you can feed the small children. We don't have food here in the house. It's all right, no problem. Now, you know, children are children. Even if they're not hungry too, if there's food there, they want to eat. So for that reason, he told us, he just lull the children off to sleep. Lull them off to sleep. And then that food that is there, you serve it. And at the time now, when you are going to eat, you make like something wrong with the lamp, switch it off. And then it will be pitch black, because they never had street lamps or anything else. It will be pitch black, you can't see your hand in front of you. So now, we'll let him eat, then we won't eat, we'll go to sleep hungry. He is a mehman of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala revealed an ayat in the Quran Sharif, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. That they give preference to others over themselves, even though poverty be their lot. That they themselves got nothing, but they give preference to them. That is the system of Islam. The team building, the brotherhood. And in this ibadat of Hajj, that is what has to come to the front. That you got millions of people trying to do the same thing. Everybody is trying to do the same thing. Everybody has to complete the same manasik. Am I worried about me, myself and I? Or am I a person who thinks for the ummah? That the whole ummah must be able to do this. Now how can we make it easy that everybody is able to fulfill their manasik? This hajj, ibadat of hajj, this is a training. Is a training to bring that system of Islam into our life. That the last person I worry about is me. Everybody else's needs. Everybody else must come first. The last person I will worry about is myself. If there's a tent, and there's only 100 people can fit in that tent, and there's 101 people, the one person would have to stay outside the tent, that one person will be me. The other 100 people must get a place in the tent. Understand? That's the system of Islam, of brotherhood, of being a team player. That everybody is working towards the same goal, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no need to be stingy because Jannat is too big. There's enough place for everybody. The treasures of Allah ta'ala is unlimited. So there's no need to be stingy, there's no need to be selfish. Everybody must get the best. The one who had that to the most perfect, nobody can have it more perfect, is Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when Sahaba r.a. asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that now on the day of Qiyamah where we find it? Did we think of it? We claim to be lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did I think for one day that I got fikr now, I never get to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my lifetime. The first time I will be able to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah ta'ala allows me, will be the day of Hashr. Now where am I going to find him? Your friend tells you, "Bhai, come home for a dawat." So he send me pin location. What's the address? You show what color house? So many things we want to know to find that friend. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did we think what's going to be his address on the day of Qiyamah? Where am I going to find him? The Sahaba Nanum, they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where will we find him? And if you have to listen to the Mubarak Jawab that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, all the places where he said, you'll find me here, you'll find me there, you'll find me there, is all those places where the Ummati is going to be in Pareshan. Where he needs some support, he needs some encouragement. When he's crossing the Sirat, when the time when his Amal is going to go on the scales, those are all the places that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be. If he's here, he'll either be here or he'll be there, or everywhere where the Ummati needs him. That even that time, he's not worried about himself. That my mission is finished, I accomplished my mission, I was successful beyond anybody else's success. But still I'm worried about my ummah. My ummah needs come before mine. Jannat cannot be opened if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam don't open it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have to go and open Jannat, but he won't go inside. He'll open it for his ummah, but he's worried about those ummatis who are still in Jannat. That you all go enjoy yourself, go and have what you need to do, but my ummati, some are still there, I need to get them out. That love, that concern. The only being got more love and more concern than that is Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Ta'ala got more than that. That when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be told to take out from Jahannam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go, Allah will give him ijazat, go take out that person who got this much iman, go take him out. Alright, those who got that much iman also go take them out. Those who got that much iman also. In the end, Allah ta'ala will ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you took everybody out. Anybody with any face of iman, taken them out. All out. You had your turn, now my turn. Now my turn. And Allah Ta'ala will take out those people from Jahannam whose iman was so little their iman was, that even the eyes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can't detect. Allah will even take those people out. And they will be known as those who are freed from Jahannam by Allah. Allah Ta'ala freed them from Jahannam. So this Hajj is supposed to bring this in us. That I mustn't only be worried about myself. What is the taqaza now?
What is the important thing that needs to be done? So I must see how that must get done. That work must get done. How everybody's calm can get done. That's why there's a beautiful saying in Urdu, they say, Ibadat se jannat milta hai. Through ibadat you will get jannat. But khidmat se khuda milta hai. By making khidmat, khidmat e khalq, by serving the people, Allah will give you Allah. Because the bandas belong to Allah. So we must come out, you see, we go through the schooling system, we go through this business system of the kuffar. And our thinking becomes like that. Our ways become like that. That is me, myself and I. I'm not just worry about myself. What I need now. How I can snooker this. How I can do that. How I can make this better for myself. That mindset must change. And Hajj is an ibadat where you can really change it. Because in Hajj, the wealthiest person, at some time, he's going to need something. So you, that's why one of the greatest ibadat in Hajj is khidmat. That you serve. And you see people, Allah's banda, sometimes this Hajj is in a hot mausam, is so hot, everybody is so drained out, and these people are in the sun, and they are serving it. They are serving. In ihram also, but yes, making khidmat. So this quality we have to bring in us. The other thing is, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, one day he met Jibrail alayhi salam. He said, "Oh Jibrail, show me a person who is the greatest worshipper." So Jibrail alayhi salam took him to one person who was affected with leprosy. You know leprosy? Where the limbs start getting diseased, they start falling off. So, took him. So this person already, the leprosy was so far gone that he already lost his hands, he already lost his legs. But he is sitting there and he's saying, "Ya Allah, I'm pleased with your decree. And I am hopeful in your mercy. You gave me the use of these legs and hands for as long as you wanted me to use it. You have taken it away, I am pleased. And I am hopeful in your mercy." So Yunus alayhi salam told Ibrahim, "I told you, you must show me one person who is a worshipper. You know, somebody who is reading namaz, rozas, this, doing that." Ibrahim alayhi salam told him that, "Oh Yunus, this man was like that. Sometimes a person gets some bimari, gets some sickness. Now what I'm doing wrong now? Why Allah Pak is doing this to me?" Then you are not a lover of Allah. So Yunus, Jibrail Islam is telling Yunus alayhi Islam, "No, this person was like that. He was a great abid before Allah took away all that. And now Allah has ordered me to take his eyes away from him." So Jibrail alayhi salam points to his eyes and his eyes melt away. He doesn't have sight now. Now no legs, no hands, no eyesight. And when his eyes went away, he says, "Ya Allah, I'm pleased with your decree. You gave me the use of the eyes for as long as you wanted me to use it. I used it. You taken it away. I am pleased with your decree. And I am hopeful in your mercy." So Jibrail alayhi salam, now he exposed himself and Yunus alayhi salam. And they spoke to this banda of Allah Paak. They say, "Oh banda, come, we'll make dua that Allah Ta'ala must cure you. Allah must restore your health. We'll make dua, you say Ameen." He said, "Never. So I won't do that. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me in this condition, I am pleased. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me in this condition, I am pleased." When Yunus alayhi salam heard that, And he told Jibreel alayhi salam, he wrote, Jibreel, I've never seen a greater worshipper than you. That is what it is to be a servant of Allah. That what makes my Allah happy, I'm happy with that. Not I want this, I want that, I... What condition Allah Ta'ala put me in, I'm happy with that. Whatever Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has decreed for me, I'm happy with that. Last night, I was at Magda Salman Rakatu. He was speaking one, two things about this. Not exactly this, but related to this. And he said, that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before your death. In other words, have no aspirations, no wishes, no desires. Only I am living for him. My life is for him, my death is for him, everything is for him. What makes him happy is my happiness. What will displease him, I have to stay away from him. Just my life. So Yunus alayhi salam said, I've never seen a greater worshipper than this. So the Haji, and not only the Haji, because the Haji time now we see, but for all of us, this is what we have to implement. This is what I have to implement in my life. The Haji also is not about the package. It's not about the proximity I'm staying from the Haram. It's not about whether I'm sharing or not sharing in Aziziyah. You know, today's time, people got different code language. Now I want to check whether you are wealthier than me. No. So now I can't ask you what's your bank balance. I say, hey, see, I got more than you. So I ask you, so where are you staying? You staying in Makkah till the end, or you moving Aziziyah? Or you in that? Level? No, I'm staying here. Yeah, till in Makkah I'm staying right through. So now you understand now what bracket he's in, what bracket you in, you know. And then now if we both in Aziziyah, Aziziyah, are you sharing or you got your own room? Now what do you need to ask the Haji all those questions for? You busy comparing now the size of your wallet and his wallet. Allah is not looking at all of that. Allah Pak is looking that, oh Banda, what condition I put you in? Are you pleased with my decree? You can come here with the best package. You can come with the most money. And if I decree you're going to go through an imtihan over here, are you going to start complaining now? You're going to start swearing your agent now? Or you're going to say, this is my Hajj. Allah brought me. How Allah wants me to make the Hajj, I am pleased. That bandagi. I am the banda of Allah. One day, Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sam Rahmatullahi, so he was having meals with his chef. So they were eating a simple meal of dar. There was no meat, nothing, all just dar. It's a very simple meal. So the chef is telling him that, oh Haki Maktar, I am getting the taste of biryani from this dar. So Shaki Maktar Sahib is asking the Shaykh, he said, Hazrat, this is dar, how you can get biryani taste from here? Dar, you get dar taste. The Shaykh told him, because Allah is feeding you. Allah is feeding you. Who put this food in front of me? Allah Ta'ala. Who gave the ability to this hand to take the morsel? Allah Ta'ala. Whatever food Allah Ta'ala gave me, that food tastes better than biryani. Because it came from Allah. So what Allah provide for me, how Allah keeps me, what condition Allah Ta'ala puts me in, I must be pleased with the tree of Allah. These two things, if we can think, especially the Hujjaj, that my whole Hajj, I'm not going to worry about myself, I'm going to worry about everybody else. Everybody else must come first. 60 people can board this bus and the 61 year. I'll be the 61. The 60 will board, I'll wait for the next one. Everybody else must come first. I'm last. The second thing is Raza bil Qaza. Whatever is my Allah's decree, I am pleased with. Whatever it is, I am pleased with the decree of my Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us his sifat and give us tawfiq. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.